إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers, if we read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the first things that strikes us when we read the seerah right in the beginning from in the Makkan period, the first thing that strikes us is is what the Sahaba did once they accepted Islam. There are three things that distinguish the Sahaba from anyone and everyone else, including ourselves, in terms of what they did when they accepted Islam. The first of them is that they differentiated on the basis of Islam. They separated themselves and they stood out and they were recognized clearly on the basis of Islam. Now, this is a basic principle in any kind of leadership. It's a basic principle in any kind of marketing. It's a basic principle in any kind of product selling or service selling, that you stand out and you are differentiated. You differentiate yourself. If you look at the airlines, Emirates will never tell you, "Oh, we are like Etihad." If somebody in Emirates said, "We are like Etihad," that is like somebody committing suicide. Because if I am sure that if an official of Emirates makes that statement officially, then he will be instantly sacked. Coca-Cola will never say, "We are like Pepsi." Somebody says, "What is Coke?" I say, "Well, you know, have you ever had Pepsi? Well, it's something like that." Can you imagine? Even though both are colored water with sugar in it and has absolutely zero value other than being good toilet cleaners, but they will never even say that. "We are both good toilet cleaners." We say, "We clean the toilet better than Pepsi." The point of any selling, any leadership, is to stand out clearly from everybody else, from all your so-called competition. And this is what the Sahaba did. When they became Muslim, they stood out completely and clearly different from anyone else as Muslims. Second thing they did was that they separated themselves in terms of their atmosphere, in terms of their friends, in terms of their society, from everybody else. Now, this does not mean that they became the enemies of others. They did not become the enemies of anybody. They were friends with others. They, wherever there was a necessity to do business and so on and so forth, they did business with whoever was in that business. But in terms of their discretionary time, in terms of their discretionary time, when they had the option of meeting, sitting with, eating, and so on, they did that only with the other Muslims. They differentiated themselves on that basis. They changed their surroundings. And the third thing they did was that they made Islam and the rules and regulations of Islam absolutely sacred and sacrosanct and completely impossible to change or compromise. So they did that. They did not take the rules of Islam and twist them and turn them and try to make them suit their own lifestyle. They never did that. There's no account of any Sahabi ever doing that. They kept Islam as central and they designed their lives around Islam. Now, don't imagine that this was easy for them. It was very difficult for them because they lived in a society which was very similar to ours, a society that worships money, a society that has no boundaries on any kind of honor and so forth, where anything is fine as long as it makes money, a society which is characterized by oppression and so forth, a society where people have there is zero value for the truth. All of this, and I don't want to make a whole list. We know what kind of society we are living in, and the society of the Makkans was just like this. There's no difference. So it was not easy for them, because today, if you you talk about these things, people say, no, but you know, we are living in the society, we have to go with them, walk with them. If you stand out, what will happen to them? You know what will happen to you? You will be given the leadership of that society. You will be given the power to rule over that society. But you cannot be given the power to rule over anything if you are not even different from them. You are the same as them. So these three things: differentiate, separate yourself in terms of your company, and third is make the rules of Islam completely sacred and sacrosanct, not amenable to any compromise. These three things are the secret of success, if I can use the term, as far as the Sahaba are concerned. And we know their success, this is history. In the same generation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a group of people who were among the most oppressed and depressed and converted them and changed them and gave them the keys to their society as its rulers. They did not rule the society by the sword, they didn't rule the society by massacring people. They ruled the society in a way which even today is a byword for justice, it's a byword for a beautiful society where people were happy to live in. The reason I'm saying is because a day will come when we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when all our excuses for doing this and that will become completely worthless. They are worthless even today, but maybe because if you make enough noise, somebody will listen. But on that day when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those excuses of ours for not doing these three things, excuses for not differentiating, excuses for not changing our company, and excuses for bending and breaking the rules of Islam, all of these excuses will become stark and clear in terms of their actual worth, which is nothing. And therefore, I remind myself and you, let us not do that. Let us follow the lead of a generation which was sent to be a guide to all of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Sahaba. He sent them as the gold standard. He sent them as the standard, the benchmark for the whole world to follow. And it is a tragedy if the Muslims themselves don't want to follow that. So let us follow the Sahaba. Confidence comes from standing out, not from blending in and being like one of the sheep. And if you don't have confidence, believe me, you cannot lead anybody anywhere. Simple as that. Anybody who leads someone somewhere does that because he or she has confidence. Otherwise, there is no way that you are going to lead anyone anywhere. And when we say confidence, we don't mean arrogance. We mean confidence meaning taking pride in and finding worth in our own identity, in looking at ourselves and saying, who am I? And this is worthy of presenting to the world without trying to disguise it in something else. If you are disguising it in something else, it means that you are yourself ashamed of what you are. Then in that case, it is better to leave that. And then find some place which you are confident about and be that. You know, whatever happens on the day of judgment is a different matter. But at least live in this world like a man. Live in this world with confidence. Don't live in this world like a mouse without any identity. You are everything to everybody. Doesn't work like that. And that will come into our families and into all sorts of corruption in our life because there's no place to stand. You have no basis. There's no peg, nothing is holding you. So you are like a lizard, you know, like a chameleon. Wherever you go, you take the color of that place. How many people respect chameleons? You respect something which stands out clearly as what it is. And that is very important for us. Ask yourself, am I proud of being a Muslim? Then be a Muslim. If you are not proud of being a Muslim, then go be whatever you are proud of. Nobody is doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by becoming a Muslim, believe me. Stand out on that basis. All these fears which we have in our hearts that, you know, if I stand out as a Muslim, this will happen, that will happen, are all signs of a weak iman or probably an absence of iman. Because if Allah is your Razik, if Allah is your Khaliq and Malik, if Allah is the one that you are going to stand before, then if you believe it, if you sincerely and honestly believe this, and if you have this yaqeen, then how can the symbol of Islam, how can your being a Muslim visibly and clearly and confidently, how can this possibly harm you? How can it possibly harm you? If you think it can, it will harm you. If you think, if you have the slightest amount of lack of confidence with regard to this, if we show our identity as Muslims, whether it's in terms of our appearance, in our, terms of our clothes, in terms of our, you know, whether you have a beard or a hijab, whether you, what kind of life you lead, and so on and so forth. If you have the slightest doubt, then believe me, take that as a sign of the weakness of your faith, which if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have mercy on you, you will realize the value of that when Malakul Maut is there to draw your breath out. That is when you will realize what is the meaning of that weakness. Some of the ulama gave a very nice example. They said that if you buy a computer and a new machine, you buy it and you're using it, regular, you know, whatever, Word or PowerPoint or something, maybe some email, and it works fine. It works absolutely fine. So you're very happy, oh, my machine is fantastic. And then one day you decide to, you know, maybe do video recording and some editing of that and so on and so forth. So now that machine is being made to do some hard work and it collapses. The disk crashes. I said, my God, what happened to this? This was fine. It was fine until some pressure was put on it. Now, why did the disk crash? You have another machine which you are also doing the same kind of work on it. Nothing happens to it. This one, the disk crashed because there was a hidden defect in that disk. Didn't show up when it was doing normal work, but the moment you put some pressure on it, that defect becomes a critical and fatal defect. And that's the reason why we have to look inside our hearts and ensure that there are no defects. They will not show up. Normally when you are walking around and doing whatever it is, they will not show up. But when the test comes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us these tests throughout our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to diagnose whether there is a defect in our iman. And that defect always comes every time that there is a choice. Every time there is a choice between obeying Allah and disobeying Allah. Every time there is a choice between confidently demonstrating your identity and hiding under the table and pretending to be something which you are not. It shows all this. Every time you will find diagnostics. And if you ignore those diagnostics, then comes the final test. When now the machine is put through its paces, then there is no hope. The disk will crash. And that's very, very important for us to remember that. Follow the example of the Sahaba, because there is no better example. I'm not asking you to follow my example. Anyone who follows my example is a fool. Take it directly from me. Follow the example of the Sahaba, because the Sahaba were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a group of people for the purpose of guiding the whole world. So let us follow the example of the Sahaba. Do what the Sahaba did. They always stood out confidently. They represented Islam clearly without any apology. And they did not compromise the principles of Islam for absolutely any reason whatsoever. And one of the best examples of that is the example of the Sahabi who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent him as an emissary to Musaylimah al-Kazzab. And Musaylimah al-Kazzab said to him, as soon as he took the letter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took the letter and he tore it up and threw it away. And he got the Sahabi, he put him in chains. And then he said to him, say that I am the messenger of Allah. And the Sahib said, I cannot hear you. So he said, what do you say about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, Muhammadu Rasulullah. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. He said, say, I am the messenger of Allah. He said, I cannot hear you. So he ordered for one of his arms to be chopped off. And one arm was chopped off. And he repeated the same question. He said, what do you say about Muhammad? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I say Muhammadur Rasulullah. What do you say about me? He said, I cannot hear you. So he said, chop off his other arm. They chopped off his other arm. Then they chopped off his legs one by one. And he died with a kalima on his tongue. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when this news was brought to his mother, she came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, I am so happy. He said, I am so happy. She said, I am so happy that I brought up this boy. She said, he was a little boy in the Baytul Aqaba. When the people when the Ansar came to Makkah to make bayah on the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she said, my son was a little boy on that day and he put his little hand in your hand. And he gave bayah for Islam. And she said, I'm so happy that that hand today was chopped. Also because he had to say Muhammad Rasulullah. So make no mistake, the Sahaba have set examples which are absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. And if you and I think that we are going to change the world by becoming like the world, major mistake in the disc, and that disc will crash. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to distinguish ourselves on the basis of Islam, because there is no other basis better than that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us confidence to live this life as Muslims, as representatives of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.